Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A pro-life protester downtown Denver who I think disagrees with us on our condemnation of the Gonzalez v. Carhart ruling. She gave us a printout, a photocopy of an article out of World Magazine about this ruling. And this article by Lynn Vincent is saying why, it's explaining why this partial birth abortion ruling is a victory for pro-lifers. And our pro-life friend highlighted sections in the article to show, look, this is why this is a good ruling. And it's rather extraordinary because these highlights, for the most part, when you read through this two-page article, these highlights represent what is factually false in the article, or even what is a lie. And we'll go through these, okay? We'll go through these and show that people reading World Magazine will read this two-page article. They'll never read the ruling. Now, we've been making that prediction from April 18th, that various pro-life activists and leaders who disagree with us will never read the ruling itself. And our side is the side encouraging everyone to read the ruling. Of course, that is, we're only encouraging people who know how to read the ruling. But if you know how to read and you think this is important for the pro-life movement, then you should read the ruling. So you will know for yourself. And then if you read this World Magazine article, pages 26 and 27, you would be stunned and shocked. And you would think either Lynn Vincent, who wrote this article, either she never read the ruling and she wrote the article based on hearsay and press releases, or she read the ruling, which you should do if you're going to write an article on a ruling for a major Christian magazine. You should read the ruling. You could do that in, what, less than an hour? Read the ruling, and after you read the ruling, then begin to write your analysis of the ruling. So either she never read the ruling or this is filled with lies. And these lies are startling. They're absolutely startling. But first, let me read, what do we have here? A couple emails. Today on WorldNet Daily, there are two articles against our open letter to Dr. Dobson. And one is written for WorldNet Daily by Bob Unruh. And the other is written in defense of Focus on the Family by Tom Minery, who's a vice president at Focus on the Family. And Brian Orbaugh is preparing a reply to Tom Minery's article. And we pray that Joseph Farah at WorldNet Daily will have the journalistic even-handedness to allow the president of Colorado Right to Life to reply to the arguments from Tom Minery on today's WorldNet Daily. So we'll see if that happens over the next few days. Now, by the way, if you live in Colorado, well, actually it's gone out around the country, but over the last couple days, you've seen Brian Rohrbaugh prominently in the news, and that is in regards to the Columbine murders that occurred 8 years ago. And there is a memorial. $1.5 million was raised for a memorial that will be overlooking the school grounds. And each family, this is how they raised the money. Each family was told that they could have a certain number of words, about 200 words, that will be inscribed in stone as part of the memorial to remember their child by. And so Brian Rohrbaugh's family, with Danny Rohrbaugh, who was murdered by Dylan Klebold, Brian Rohrbaugh's family, they split the 200 words in half with Danny's mom and Danny's dad. Well, the committee that's been in charge, meaning the lawyers and bureaucrats that has been in charge of the memorial has objected to Brian Rohrbaugh's words. So everything is okay, everything's a go, but we don't want Brian Rohrbaugh's words on the memorial, and they suggested other words. And the words that they suggested were basically meaningless. And Brian Rohrbaugh is understandably upset, and he said this money was raised with the promise to the families that they would have wide latitude to record their sentiments on this memorial. And this is a memorial to their children, not to some bureaucrat or to some lawyer's kids. So anyway, Brian's been on TV, what is it, page 4 of the Rocky Mountain News today? And over the next day or two, he'll spend about 3.5 hours in the media on local and national radio and TV, including today, Drive Time on Kaplis and Silverman, 5 o'clock on KHOW Radio, KHOW, and tomorrow, 1 o'clock Eastern Time on the Fox News Channel. He'll be hosting a Denver radio show tomorrow. So, not this show, another show. So anyway, that'll be pretty neat. Okay. So, by the way, 4 articles out today, 4 new articles about our open letter to Dr. Dobson, which you can read. If you've missed it, it's at coloradorighttolife.org. Just go to that website. You'll see the open letter links. It's an extraordinary open letter. 2 articles on WorldNet Daily, which is a huge internet news source. CNSNews.com, which is frequently linked to by Drudge. CNS is an online news service, politics, and social matters primarily. CNSNews.com, that's an original article. And UPI has an article that's been getting out through media outlets around the country. So those are 4 new articles today. And we have a major full-page ad coming out on Monday in a national conservative magazine. So we'll let you know about that next week. And also, a businessman in Nebraska called, and he said, I'm raising money. I'd like the full-page ad to run in our local newspaper in Nebraska. And it's going to be X number of dollars, you know, $1,000 or so. And would you guys want to kick in any? He was just, sure, we'll kick in some. And so we sent him some checks today from people who said, yeah, we'll chip in. But he's raising the money, and that will run, Lord willing, in about a week from now in a city newspaper in Nebraska. Okay. All right. So now a couple emails. This is from Scott in Longmont, Colorado. Bob, I heard a Christian show on the radio today in Colorado slam you again concerning the PBA, partial birth abortion, ruling, but as they have done before, the host of the show offered absolutely no insight into your position versus the opposing position. And that happens so often. Those who have objected to us and criticized us, they have not explained to their listeners or their readers what our argument is. They haven't done it. They've been merely superficial. And then this is, let's see. Okay, this comes from the former state chairman of the Colorado Republican Party, Steve Curtis, and he sent an email with an excerpt from a quote on WorldNet Daily by Tom Minery, A Focus on the Family. And he's quoting Tom Minery, and then he comments. He's quoting Tom Minery. Tom Minery wrote this: in the end, Gonzalez v. Carhart is just one new road away from abortion, and there will have to be others, but we will gladly travel this road. And then Steve Curtis inserted a comment, and he said, we'll gladly travel this road? Is that the road prescribed in the ruling that says you pull the baby out to its navel and then cut off its legs? Tom, is that the road that you will gladly travel? So Tom, and then Tom Minery's quote is concluded, we'll gladly travel this road until that day when we can finally see an end to unrestricted abortion in this country. And you know what? I have noticed that terminology used more and more by pro-lifers. Why wouldn't Tom Minnery, a Focus on the Family, say that we're headed on the road to see an end to abortion or an end to legal abortion? Why would he say an end to unrestricted abortion? As though it's almost like that's become the new goal of the pro-life movement. They no longer make concessions to politicians who have exceptions. They've begun adopting the exceptions as their own position. Hey, what we want is restricted abortion in this country. That's what we want. We don't like unrestricted abortion. We want restricted abortion. So anyway, I hope that's not what Tom Minnery means. I know that's what quite a lot of other pro-lifers mean. I hope he's not there at that place, but that's what he wrote, that the end goal is to see an end to unrestricted abortion. So for now, it is right to celebrate the court's decision in Carhartt. And Nero fiddles on, wrote Steve Curtis. And Nero fiddles on. Okay. Now let's go to this World Magazine article. Speaking Our Language, the Supreme Court's Ruling on Partial Birth Abortion. Now, these errors in this article may startle you. These may absolutely startle you. Okay. First off, they say in, let's see, first column of the article, in the 39-page opinion, Anthony Kennedy, joined by Justices Roberts, Scalia, Thomas, and Alito, repeatedly referred to a child rather than a fetus. Do you get that? The readers of World Magazine have been told that one of the reasons this is such a good ruling, and this comes right in the beginning. I usually put my best arguments in the beginning. One of the reasons, one of the pieces of evidence that this is a good ruling is because the ruling repeatedly refers to a child rather than a fetus. Now, what World Magazine and Lynn Vincent want you to believe is that this ruling is pro-child, and the justices did not like the idea of calling the unborn a fetus. They liked to call the unborn a child. Now, that's a lie. Either Lynn Vincent is the worst journalist who's ever lived, and she knew nothing about the ruling, and she took the assignment to write an article on it without finding out, or she's lying. That's your two choices. I'm going to read to you from the ruling itself. All right? First of all, on page 15, the justices reused their old anti-child phrase when they said this, quote, they spoke of, quote, the fetus that may become a child, unquote. That's in their ruling. They don't like calling it a child. They prefer calling it a fetus. They make that clear on page 21. They talk about the language in the ban that they upheld. And they didn't like the language in the bans that they struck down, like in the Nebraska law. In Nebraska, they had a partial birth abortion ban, and that ban used the word child, and they struck it down. And the ban that they upheld from Congress, that uses the term fetus. And they write on page 21 that Congress adopted the phrase fetus instead of child. And that's one of the reasons they list as to why they upheld Congress law and they struck down the Nebraska law. Right? The majority opinion is pleased that Congress did not use the term child, but they used fetus. In concurring with Antonin Scalia, all these Alito and Roberts, all these justices, note that the Nebraska ban that was struck down described, now I'll quote, a living unborn child, unquote. And Congress responded to the Supreme Court striking down that ban, quote, in material ways, including that it adopts the phrase delivers a living fetus instead of a living unborn child, unquote. How's that? The Supreme Court ruling actually states explicitly that they prefer the term fetus rather than child. Why would they say that? Because this is an anti-pro-life ruling. They explicitly say that's one of the key reasons why they upheld this ban. They pointed it out in their ruling that this ban uses the term fetus, not the term child. So here is our friend Audrey, who protests at Planned Parenthood, and she copied this article from World Magazine, and this is what she assumed. She assumed when the pro-life media and a pro-life journalist write something about the partial birth abortion ban and ruling, she assumed that they would be truthful and they would be accurate. And the problem is they are inaccurate, and often they don't want to know the truth, or they're even willing to lie in order to defend the pro-life industry that's raised $250 million on this partial birth abortion travesty. All right, let's continue. Let's see. What do we have here? Okay. They say in this article in World Magazine, toward the end of the article, that the Supreme Court in Gonzales v. Carhart upheld a protection for unborn children that did not include a health exception. All right? Now, there is a lie in there, and the lie is there is no protection for unborn children in Gonzales v. Carhart. The justices explain that the reason they are upholding this regulation is because you can kill the baby any which way you want to within this regulation. This is only a 4-inch variation to a textbook partial birth abortion. You could still do a partial birth abortion, just don't pull the baby out to the neck, pull him out to the navel, then you could kill him, including by cutting its legs off. They say you could give him an injection to kill the fetus and then just do your partial birth abortion. There is no protection for an unborn child in this ruling. That's a lie. And pro-lifers used to be excited when some kind of an abortion law had no health exception. Because what that meant in the Twilight Zone world of pro-life politics, way back when, if a law or a ruling had no health exception, that meant that perhaps, well, then that baby could be saved. Because otherwise you're going to kill him, but there's no health exception, therefore you can't kill that baby. That's what that meant. In this ruling, the justice is right. You don't need a health exception because you can kill the baby. You can abort the baby. You can kill the baby in so many ways, and you could even perform a textbook partial birth abortion under a number of different circumstances. So today, we've sunk so low that the pro-life media and the pro-life industry are deceiving the donors and the public and their readers into patting ourselves on the back because this ruling has no health exception. What do you need a health exception for when the judges say you could kill the baby? You could kill him, you could kill him, you could kill him. You kill him this way, you kill him that way. If people don't like those ways, find less shocking ways to kill the baby, but just kill it. That's this ruling. And anybody who tells you otherwise is ignorant or a liar. This is an evil ruling. And we have sunk to where our Christian leaders are praising, they are calling something good that is brutally evil and wicked. All right, so first off, the beginning of the article says, well, this is a good ruling because the justices prefer to use the term child rather than fetus. That's a lie. That's a lie. They specifically say a fetus that may become a child, showing their actual legal belief that this fetus doesn't qualify as a child. Because if it did, that would mean the fetus would have personhood. And even the author of Roe v. Wade, a Republican Supreme Court justice who wrote Roe v. Wade, Harry Blackmun, he wrote in that decision that if you could establish the personhood of the unborn fetus, then that would destroy abortion. He said the case for abortion would collapse if you could establish personhood. And every child-killing regulation supported by Focus on the Family and National Right to Life undermines the personhood and God-given right of the child. Because no one would say, no moral person would say, that if you get someone's written consent, you can murder an innocent person. No rational thinking person would say that. And so every time we make a child-killing regulation, we undermine the personhood of the child, which is ultimately the only defense for that unborn child. Okay, let's see. What else? What other Alice in Wonderland, Twilight Zone section should I read out of this article? Well, here's one. In this section, this is at the end of the first page, this tells you that Justice Anthony Kennedy, who wrote the ruling, and then all the other justices concurred, this tells you that he's had a change of heart, and he's staying strong on the pro-life side. Now, Anthony Kennedy is a hardcore, evil pro-abort. Absolutely an evil pro-abort. And this hasn't changed at all. Throughout this ruling, he affirms the right to kill an unborn child. For any reason, for no reason. And he said, if this provided any kind of an obstacle to abortion, to late-term abortion, we would never do this. But it doesn't, because you can kill the baby this way, and this way, and you could do a partial birth abortion under all these circumstances. So let's read from World Magazine. All right. When Kennedy dissented in a 2000 Supreme Court case called Stenberg versus Carhart that struck down a Nebraska ban on partial birth abortion, he did not give us any confidence that he'd stay on the pro-life side. In Gonzales, there is no shakiness. Kennedy was strong. I think he had a change of heart. Now, I'm looking at my general manager here, Will Duffy. Will, you read the ruling? Justice Anthony Kennedy, was he strong on the pro-life side in the ruling? No, Will is shaking his head no, vociferously. I mean, that is a disgusting interpretation of this wicked judge. This judge is going to hell. This judge hates God, and he hates children, and pro-lifers are falling all over themselves, praising him as a pro-life hero. Okay, so then what? So you have these statements about morality, okay? And then you have these slick legal insights that we are told we're not sophisticated enough. We can't understand the deeper legal matters. So all we understand, we're the moron pro-lifers. All we understand is that when a ruling says you could deliver the baby up to his belly button and then rip his legs off, that's a bad ruling. That's all we understand. But there are legal principles and insights that are too sophisticated for us. And so one of those is right here in this article. It says that in the state of Michigan, there is a law, the Legal Birth Definition Act, and that law is pending in court. And so this Gonzales v. Carhart ruling, this may alter the outcome of that case and decide it in favor of pro-lifers. Well, guess what's all over the news this week? All over the news is that the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, they read Gonzales v. Carhart, and they struck down this pro-life law, this child-killing regulation law. They struck it down. And pro-lifers around the country are beside themselves. They're saying, how could they have struck it down? Look what they're doing. Are they ignoring the U.S. Supreme Court? No, they're not ignoring. They're following it. They don't want to be judicial activists. They're following the letter of the law. And in a couple of years from now, if one of these judges who struck down this law that pro-lifers are taking a fit about, if a Republican president nominates him to the Supreme Court, you know what they'll do? They'll say, well, when they struck down our law in Michigan, that was the right thing to do. Don't you know, when federal judges strike down our laws, that's the right thing to do because we don't want them to be judicial activists. There is no foundation under the pro-life industry. They are standing on shifting sand. They are double-minded in all their ways. And so they're wrong on that right there. They said, okay, one of the benefits that will come from Gonzalez v. Carhart is that that will help us get this Legal Birth Definition Act passed into law in Michigan. Okay, and so that act was struck down in light of Gonzalez v. Carhart. So much for that brilliant insight that we, the unsophisticated pro-lifers, could never follow anyway. We couldn't follow that. All right, so what other error should I pull out of this World Magazine? I mean, it's only 2 pages long. How do you make this many errors in one article? Just pick a spot. Here, let's read this one. This is about as despicably evil as you can get. This is second to the last paragraph. In his own references to partial birth abortion, Kennedy, Anthony Kennedy, consistently avoided words like disarticulate and reduce, clinical terms often used by abortionists to obscure the violence of the procedure. Instead, he used terms like ripped apart, and in doing so, ripped down a curtain of the abortionist pretense. You get what they're saying? They're saying he could have used medical terms like excise the limb, but he didn't. He used terms like rip the leg off. And that's because he's quoting from testimony. That's why he used those terms. And guess what? He supports the right to rip the leg off. He supports it. He supports that right. And now he says it's preferred that you rip the baby's arms off and rip his legs off. That's preferred. And because you have the right to rip the baby's arms and legs off, I will uphold this regulation because it's just a 4-inch variation on partial birth abortion. And if we're concerned at all about appearances, then please, the abortion industry, devise less shocking means to abort these late-term fetuses. That's what he says. And Lynn Vincent is either the worst journalist in the Christian community or she's a liar. She should have wrote that I have not read the ruling. I've written them one of the most significant articles on this ruling that will appear in Christian media, and I have not read it. We have read it. Colorado Right to Life has read it. American Life League has read it. Human Life International has read it. Pro-life physicians have read it. Operation Rescue has read it. And we're condemning this ruling. And we ask you to please read it and join us at ColoradoRightToLife.org. Maranatha, what a great school.